Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 122, and today's date is August 1st, 2018. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by that pretty decent tag team, Kent and Russ. How you doing, guys?
Pretty good, but this is our 122nd, I know it's not all wrestling, but 122nd podcast. I think we can count on the number of hands, the number of fingers, how many people listen to this podcast still. And we've done 120 some odd of these. Good stuff, guys. That's what I like to see. And I'm fine.
Yeah, now I'm supposed to save the segment? Really? Like, cool. Yeah, doing great after that. I mean, were we just doing my moment of bliss? Was that it right there?
Is that your moment of bliss?
I mean, Jesus.
Is that your moment of bliss, knowing that we have about five people who listen?
Wow. Guys, let's be a little more optimistic here.
8?
11-teen?
11-teen. I like that. That's a good, nice number.
Let's go with 13. That's a good, safe number.
Also really evil, unless you like Friday the 13th and all the other stuff.
Or Taz.
Or Taz, yes.
And I'm a big fan of Taz.
And a big fan of Friday the 13th. Who are we kidding?
Yes, I am.
All right, I guess it's a good number then. 13 people listen to us.
All right. So for our first-time listeners and returning listeners who just need a refresher on what our show is all about, the three of us talk about all things wrestling. So, listeners, the word for this week is tournaments. We have the kickoff of our entrance music tournament with the music of the rock and wrestling era. I have my weekly G1 Climax 28 update for you in Carrie's Corner. And we have our normal weekly segments as well. And we'll also talk about our moments of the week, if we have time. But first, before we get to any of that, Kent, what's your moment of bliss?
Aside from Russell's botch at the beginning, I have two of them. My first one was that I just got my very first 4K Ultra HD disc movie. And I've been waiting. I've been holding off for over a year before I made my first purchase because I wanted to feel just right. You know, it's like picking out, you know, your first person, your own bone, right? So I went with... Russ, don't look at me like that. You know it's not true.
I was going to say, you know, are we really that picky, the first person we bone?
No. Okay. Trying to add some class and decorum to this, Russ. I chose, perhaps, it's easily top five action sci-fi flicks of all time. It's probably the best of the 90s. I'm talking about Independence Day. I mean, really, that film set the bar for over a decade, quite frankly, as far as visual effects go, combined with storytelling. Seriously, I defy people listening to this right now to say that there was something that came out better. Like, think about it. Day After Tomorrow tried their hardest with updated technology to outdo Independence Day, and they failed. Failed worse than AWOL Nation sailed. Okay? So, yes, that was my first film I bought. My second moment came when I binge-watched the shit out of Orange is the New Black Friday into Saturday morning. You know, Wentworth is coming back soon. So that's a plus. On Wentworth, they do basically the same thing, only they don't tell us about all this PC bullshit, and it's actually fun to watch, and, you know, you don't get dragged down by, you know, all the bullshit. So, anybody listening that was a fan of Orange is New Black, you can just skip it. Go binge watch Wentworth. And new season will be out on Netflix, I think, next month, maybe? Or this month? I don't know. It's either August or September, as far as I know. So, yay, Wentworth. Fuck Orange is the New Black.
I was going to say, moment of bliss. I thought you really didn't like Orange is the New Black. So, how's that part of the...
Because I'm pimping Wentworth. Because it's currently airing right now, but unless you get, like, that fucking channel in goddamn Australia, you don't have access to it. Or you can, you know, torrent, you know, pirate, sail. Gonna say sail three more times this podcast. And that was my moment of bliss.
So basically what you're saying is I should not finish the previous season of Orange is the New Black and watch this one.
No, don't. Save yourself time and I mean, did you like the earlier seasons of Orange?
Okay. I did. We basically, the season that came out previous to this newest one, we got through maybe the first four episodes, Eric and I did, and we're just like, yeah, no, we can't do this.
See, that was my problem about three seasons ago.
Yeah, well, a lot of, as I do a blog every year,
yes,
you know, it becomes more and more apparent what people's opinions are changing of the show. And yeah, it's everybody has a more negative viewpoint from, say, season one and two, then kind of slowly downgraded, and then, you know, the riot happened, and now they're where they are. And this season, they cut out a lot of people were not even there. Or if they were, they were briefly on screen, like, without even, like, a single word. Like, Boo, Angie and Leanne, So-So, Chang. Didn't even, like, hear from any of these people. Maritza wasn't there. That's a downgrade to me. That's a huge downgrade when you're introducing boring characters with bad Boston accents. Not good. So, for anybody that used to like this show, go check out Wentworth. I promise you, you will not... I have not talked to a single person that's gone and watched Wentworth and is like, gee, Kent, you're a fucking idiot for recommending that. No, every single person's like, no, it's way better than Orange. So just trust me on this.
It feels like Netflix is starting to fall into the network's trap. Their shows are getting worse. Like, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. First two seasons are fantastic. The third season is, okay. The fourth season, and apparently the last season, that was total. I can't even get through it. It's terrible. It's horrible.
Wait until Stranger Things season three bombs.
Oh, I'm so worried about that. Because it's been great
then
so
Santa
far.
Clarita.
Yeah.
Both of those are going to bomb in season three. I am just waiting for it. Season three is like an inevitable trap in many shows.
Yeah, but...
It just is.
But Netflix seems to be their trend. As soon as they hit three, it starts to go downhill.
I mean, even Sons of Anarchy, that was the Irish years. The Office is when they did the split to Pennsylvania or wherever the fuck it was. And it was bad. So, like, a lot of shows tend to go downhill season three.
And some shows pick it back up.
Some do, yes.
All right, Carrie, we'll talk about this forever. You need to really chop here.
I'm actually interested in this conversation. But I'm
yeah,
also...
Russ, sometimes we can talk about non-wrestling things. It's okay.
Yeah.
Is it, though? Is it? Because I'm pretty sure it's called Are You Not Entertained Wrestling.
Well, then
Are You Not Entertained?
Then let's jump right into this music tournament we got going on here, guys. So we're looking at the music from the rock and wrestling era. We have matchups between two songs. We're going to pick a winner, and we're just going to continue on until we have the number one song we feel from the rock and wrestling era. Sum that up, Kent?
I was going
to
say...
Yeah, one thing we need to point out is this is only for WWF. We will touch on WCW later. Let's face it, WCW did not have a gluttony of good songs. They never did, and they never will, unless somehow they get brought back. So, you're not going to hear Ric Flair's song here. You know, even though he's technically part of rock and wrestling. And I didn't really have a definitive cutoff point, but I tried to do it when Hogan kind of was on his way out, and then, like, the new generation starts with Shawn having a singles run, Bret. Taker technically was part of this era, but he became a star in the next era, and I, quite frankly, need the sandbag for the next era, because it's not a pretty tournament next era. So.
Well, I was going to say, maybe we should explain, because we didn't explain at all. What we're doing is a musical tournament throughout the ages. All right? This is a musical tournament throughout the ages. First, we're going to be in their brackets that they're starting with, you know, like South, East, North, and West. We're doing rock and roll, rock and wrestling, whatever.
We're doing it through the era and then ECW, WCW. Yeah.
And then at the end, we're going to have one last ultimate tournament to decide the ultimate song. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to take us through at least almost till October, I'd say, probably at this point, right?
Yeah, because we're not doing this every single week either.
Right.
So we're going to really sandbag the shit out of this tournament and give us time killers.
It'll be one of our new horses to beat continuously.
Are we sure we want to do that? The last one, really, it ran away.
Oh, I would have came back, though. We'll beat it again.
Yeah. That's what it gets for coming back.
That's right.
All right, guys, let's jump into this Rock and Wrestling era matchups. Let's go with the singles stars first. What do you guys think?
Whatever floats your boat.
Okay. All right, first matchup we have Hulk Hogan versus Jake the Snake Roberts.
Should we say they're seeds? So the number one seed is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, 16 number 16. Seed. Yeah. Okay. I had Hogan picked. I think my reasoning's pretty obvious for everyone where I say that song is pretty much iconic, and if you listened to it, it gets stuck in your head very frequently. What do you think, Russ?
I think this is like every other tournament. You got your number one seed, always get your 16, it's going to win. Unless it's a real amazing one. No, Hulk Hogan's got this one. Iconic music. Jake the Snakes, I'm going to be honest with you. Re-listening to it, it's pretty boring. Yeah, Hulk Hogan all the way.
And Kent.
I remember, I used to get excited hearing Jake the Snake's music. And this is going to be a common theme as I go through this because, you know, this is an era that I watched a lot of. I remember getting excited hearing Jake's music, but to actually just listen to the music, fucking A, is it underwhelming. And that was the 16th seed. I do want to say, though, that I didn't include Superstar Billy Graham, but apparently he used to come out to the Jesus Christ Superstar song. And I was so excited finding this out. But I didn't feel right having that on here. So Jake got the 16 seed, and let's face it, Hulk Hogan. When you hear that song, do you not get excited? Like, I get pumped when I hear that song, and I was never even a Hogan fan. And he fights for the rights of every man. He does.
He does.
He's a real American.
You're right. Yeah.
It's just such a good... It's such a good... feel-good, American, yeah, woo, song. It just pumps you
up. I mean, that should be on, like, every American's workout playlist. You know? Just should be. Unless they're foreign.
Right. But you said American, so...
Exactly.
All right. Moving on to our next matchup, we have the number 8 seed, Ravishing Rick Rude, versus the number 9 seed, Dusty Rhodes. I went with the Son of a Plumber. I had to. So, Dusty. Kent?
Obviously, since I'm the person that seeded it, I guess we all kind of know where my picks go, but... This was just incredibly tough for me. Both are incredibly memorable. But if I sit there and I ask the one simple question, which song goes better with the wrestler behind the song? Ravishing Rick Rude's epitomizes what Ravishing Rick Rude... I don't know what the fuck... I mean, yeah, Dusty's, you know, talks about the common man, but Ravishing Rick Rude is like the precursor to Val Venus, so... And all the ladies got moist when they heard his song come out, so let's not undercut that song. Going to Rick Rude.
And Russ.
All right. This one was a bit tough. I like both of them. I agree with Kat. Ravishing Rick Rude's song is Ravishing Rick Rude. Like, you hear that song, okay, Ravishing Rick Rude. That's who you think of. Dusty, yeah, you're right. But I gotta go with Dusty on this one. It's iconic. It's a really good song, and a really fun song. You hear it again, you think, all right, getting pumped up and stuff. So I'm going to go with Dusty. I don't know. We're having a theme here, a lot of American theme here going on.
America. All right, next matchup, we have the number 4th seed, the Mountie, versus the 13th seed, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Piper. Every day. All the time. I love bagpipes. Russ?
Alright, while I do like bagpipes, it's just not that exciting of a song. The Mountie, however, is great. He always gets his man. And frankly, he's got this man. I'm going with the Mountie on this one.
And Kent.
You know, I went in expecting Piper to be a higher seed. And then I listened to it, And once again, if you're not watching the person come out to the ring and you're just listening to the song, I was kind of tapped out after about 20 seconds. Whereas the Mountie was secretly fucking underrated, not only in-ring, but as a song. My God, I forgot how great it was. There's a song that gets stuck in your goddamn head. So, yeah, I was shocked that I had the Mountie rated as high as I did. Really shocked. Plus, he had the cattle prod, which also shocked people. So, yeah. Canada.
C to the Anada.
All right. Next matchup, we have the fifth seed, Akeem, the African Dream. And Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase is a number 12 seed. I listened to both of these, and I never heard Akeem's music before, but it got me, you know, it got me going a little bit, so I went with that. How about you, Kent?
Plus the video. I mean, let's face it, WWF, this is like Vince McMahon before he did all of his bullshit with big guys and making them dance. Like, Akeem is the... Akeem may be the original one. Rest assured, he never tried the shit with Andre. Andre would have fucking backhanded Vince. So he took one man gang, one of the biggest badasses, like the Braun Strowman of his era, and was like, hey, we're going to make it like you're African, and you're going to wear this awful outfit, and you're going to walk around as if you're black with your manager Slick, and we're going to call you the African Dream, and we're going to give you this awesome song. And it somehow worked really well. Going with Akeem, even though DiBiase's is more well-known.
And Russ.
Well, I've already lost, so it doesn't even matter. But I have to go with the Million Dollar Man on this one. I listened to Akeem's. Yeah, it's all right. I guess I really didn't know Akeem, so I couldn't really connect to it. Million Dollar Man, that's just iconic. Everyone's got a price, baby. So even though it doesn't make much of a difference, I'm going with the Million Dollar Man.
All right, next matchup, we have the number 2 seed, Ultimate Warrior, versus the number 15 seed, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I gotta go with Ultimate Warrior here. You hear that music, all you want to do is run top speed down a hallway. Or anywhere. Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. What do you think, Russ?
I think it's just you. So, listening to these songs again, and like Kent's been saying, without the entrance, really underwhelming. I listened to the song. I was like, huh, yeah, it's all right. But the same thing with Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Without the entrance, God, it sucked. So out of the two, honestly, Ultimate Warrior wins. But really, both are seriously underwhelming. I'm shocked that I... Because I remember Ultimate Warriors and how excited I used to get from listening to it. And seeing him enter. That's the key. Just listening to the song, I was like, eh. But then it's going up against Jimmy Superfly Snuka, which had the exact same problem. So Ultimate Warrior.
And Kent.
Russ, did you get your name changed to Charlotte over the past week? Because, my God, you just offended me. No.
Okay.
Warrior makes me run... In my mind, not physically, but down hallways. Yeah, I agree with the whole hallway running aspect. Because I still have that on my playlist for video gaming. So, yeah, the song still holds up incredibly well. I don't know. Charlotte over there, poo-pooing on the Warrior.
Maybe it was the video that I listened to, but it just was not the normal pumpitude. I don't know, I just was not... I listened to it, I'm like, eh. I remember when this used to excite me. Eh.
Y'all, at least 12 of our listeners right now are booing you out loud right now, Russ. You finally have a following of booing. And some shame.
Are you sure it's not Boo Earns?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Well, he's not going to like any song that doesn't have Burn It Down in the beginning.
Whoa.
Are we sure it's not Burns It Down?
Yeah, are we sure it's not Burns It Down? Because, right. Or Boo Earns It Down.
Oh. God.
Well played. All right, guys. Let's move on to the next matchup. We have the 7th seed Big Boss Man versus the number 10 seed Junkyard Dog. I'll be honest, guys, this was a hard one for me to actually pick a winner on. But I had to listen to him actually twice, and at my second listen, I went with Big Boss Man. Who'd you have, Russ?
Oh, yeah. Both good ones. I never really knew the Junkyard song. I listened to it, and I actually liked it. But then I saw I was going up against Big Boss Man, and I laughed. Big Boss Man all the way. There's no way Junkyard's going to win that one.
And Kent.
I need to throw love to the rapiest song on our list. Grab Them Cakes. If you guys pay attention to the lyrics, it is possibly one of the rapiest songs that WWE has ever come out with, which is fantastic, and I support, you know, rapey songs 100% of the time, every time. But yeah, I still had Boss Man. I had a really hard time between, like, those four songs. So, what was it, Boss Man, this Junkyard Dog, and what was it, Ravishing Rick Rude and Dusty Rhodes. They all kind of, I don't know, I felt they were all right around the same level, but Boss Man's told the better story. That wasn't rape. Except, unless it was prison rape.
And it could have been that.
Yeah, down Cobb County, Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be doing hard time.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next matchup. We have the 3rd seed, Macho Man Randy Savage, versus the 14th seed, Coco Beware. I don't know. Something about Macho Man's music just makes you want to just spin around. We were at a graduation. Took everything in me when I graduated from grad school this past couple months, about a couple months ago, not to do that. I almost did his entrance when I came in. I'm glad I didn't, though. So that's my pick. Kent?
Well, now I'm ashamed of Carrie. Not so ashamed of Russ anymore. You know, we didn't even mention that Jimmy Superfly Snuka killed a woman. I just want to say, he killed a woman. Anyway.
He did, yes.
I remember when I graduated, I did the DX crotch chop, and no, I have zero regret about this decision. I feel completely verified. As good as Coco Beware had a feel-good song. I actually might add that to a playlist at some point.
Little Birdman for you?
Yeah, sad story. I remember when Coco's house burned down and his bird was still in the house. I remember that was a very sad time in wrestling.
Sad and delicious?
Yeah, very delicious. But, yeah, I mean, Macho Man. Yeah. It's Macho Man.
And Russ.
Yeah, I don't. Whenever you hear that song, you're either thinking Graduation or you're thinking Macho Man there, and as good as Birdman is, it doesn't compete to Macho Man. I mean, come on. Every time you heard it, you got to hear it outside of it. Graduation. Everyone heard it at Graduation. The first time I hear it, it's like, oh, Macho Man. Every time.
I've heard people who are not wrestling fans, they hear the song, they're like, where have I heard that from? And then they say, oh, Macho Man. And I'm always astounded that Macho Man comes to their thought before Graduation. So that's kind of impressive for the classical pomp and circumstance.
Agreed. So, guys, our final matchup is the number 6 seed, Honky Tonk Man, versus the number 9 seed, Mr. Perfect. We have 2 number 9 seeds on this.
Kent, go wrong somewheres?
I think we're missing number 11.
Yes, it should be 6 versus 11.
Yeah, obviously. I don't know what you guys are seeing right now.
Oh, well, look, it is 11. See, Carrie, what are you talking about?
Oh, then I must have an earlier version of this list.
No,
anyway.
No, you literally don't, but okay.
Oh, I don't? Oh, okay.
Look at the list now. Hurry up.
I'm looking at my own list.
Oh, yeah. It's now 11. Like, literally 5 seconds ago, it was a 9.
Both of you are seeing 9-11. I don't know what's happening here. Conspiracies.
All right. Let's get to our picks for this one. I picked Honky Tonk Man. I like Elvis, so that works for me. How about you, Russ?
This was tough. I love Perfect Song, and that's why I went with Mr. Perfect. I like Honky Tonks. It's really good. But setting up against Mr. Perfect, I've always loved Perfect Song. And I used to hate him, too. So his song is iconic to me. I'm going with Perfect.
And Ken.
So, even though I seeded this, in an upset against my own seedings, I had a sign this week while watching wrestling, and they did a Mr. Perfect tribute during Raw, I believe, or SmackDown to advertise, like, Sonic food or some shit. And I was like, nope, this is the sign. So, in an upset, I'm going Mr. Perfect. I gotta take the sign when I get the sign.
Did it open up your eyes?
Well, it was all I wanted.
It's not another baby?
No. I'll be gone tomorrow.
I hope people caught that.
I did. And I'm shaking my head. All right. So let's move on with our winners and start narrowing this down. Let's do Hogan versus Dusty.
No, shouldn't it be Perfect? He should go against the lowest seed.
Nope. Classic tournament style, Russ.
Oh, okay.
So Carrie's right.
Yay! I'm right. I gotta go with Hogan. That's, you know, the pick that you have to take. What do you think, Kent?
Yeah. I mean, Hogan's number one seed. If he doesn't make it to the finals, I'm going to be very shocked.
There could be a dark horse. I mean, the only problem is you know who you
are. Didn't we eliminate all the dark horses?
No, I think we got a couple of dark horses.
Huh. Good for us.
And Russ.
We'll beat them, don't worry. Gotta go with Hogan. Out of the two. I mean, they're both the American Icon ones, so it's really tough. Kind of pitting them up against each other right now.
Battle of America, right?
Right? But I think Hogan's gonna win out on that one. So, Hogan.
Okay, we got the Mountie versus...
You're not gonna ask Kent what he wanted?
I already asked Kent.
Where the hell have you been, Ross?
Where was I? I swear I did not hear Hogan from him.
Jesus. Raising the bar.
We are the bar.
All right, as I was saying, we have the Mountie versus Akeem, the African Dream. I don't know who I'd pick here. You know, I do remember the Mountie song being fun. I'm going to go with the Mountie. Russ?
Mountie, since I didn't choose Akeem the first time, I'm not going to choose him this time. Mountie.
And man, how's those sour grapes, Russ? Jeez. Just chewing them down. Yeah, Mountie. I'm looking forward to the 1v4 matchup, quite frankly.
All right, next matchup, we got the Ultimate Warrior versus Big Boss Man. I gotta go with Ultimate Warrior. Russ?
I'm going with Big Boss Man. I'm taking that one to the bank here. Come on.
And Kent.
This is tough. Boss Man was my very first favorite wrestler. Ultimate Warrior was my second favorite wrestler. I'm very conflicted here at this moment. Going Warrior, but not as easy as it should have been.
All right, next matchup we have Macho Man Randy Savage versus Honky Tonk Man. Macho Man. Kent?
Didn't Honky Tonk Man lose to Perfect?
Oh, you're correct. I have the wrong one highlighted. I apologize. Perfect versus Savage. Still picking Savage.
Ooh, that's a good matchup in real life, though.
Oh, yes, it is.
Hmm. Russ, what you got?
I'm going to go with Perfect. I'm going to let you be the ultimate decider on this one. That's too close to call. I even may normally go with Macho Man on this one, but I love Perfect Song. It's just one of my favorite songs. So perfect.
I have to go with Macho Man on sheer principle that's fucking Macho Man, but really the fact that it was actually this close makes me rethink that I seeded Mr. Perfect way too freaking low on this list. So, my bad. Going Macho.
All right. Down to the semifinals here, guys. We have Hulk Hogan versus the Bounty. Hogan. Kent?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I dreaded, having to vote the Mountie out, but it's Hogan, yeah.
Well, and Russ.
Since my vote doesn't matter, Mountie.
Hey, it's just like America.
Right.
Your vote doesn't matter. Count.
All right, Ultimate Warrior versus Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, gosh, this is tough.
WrestleMania 7 all over again.
Yeah. Warrior. Kent?
Well, I know what Russ is going to go against Warrior. Is that right, Russ?
That's why she should have chose me. She should have realized I was going to go against Warrior, like Kent be the third choice. So, yes, yep. I'm going with Randy Savage.
Yeah. Yeah. So, fuck. I'm going Savage. I wasn't sure which way I was going to go. I was kind of hoping somehow I didn't have to come to this.
It's the right choice.
It's the battle of either WrestleMania 5's main event or WrestleMania 6's main event. So, fucked either way. So sad.
I think I have an idea for next week or next time we do the tournament. That way we're not conflicted by seeding. I'll explain it after we're done here. So
good. I'm glad you brought that up in the middle of the podcast.
I thought I would.
Trail off.
I thought I would. It made sense. So
to be continued, fans.
I'm holding their anticipation as how we should do this next week. Go ahead.
All right. So it looks like, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have a Mega Powers final. We have Hogan versus Savage.
I always Hogan. Do it come down to these two.
Oh, it always does. Hogan, Russ, your pick.
I'm going to go with the man who created the rap, Macho Man Randy Savage. Fuck Hogan.
And Kent.
Oh, fuck. I'll go Hogan, begrudgingly. I think a lot less of Hulk Hogan than I do of Macho Man, but I think I listen to Real American more than I listen to Pomp and Circumstance. That's the only thing I'm going with, is that I listen to that song more than I listen to the other song.
Well, it sounds like we have our winner, guys. Looks like Hogan won this round.
He buried the competition, as is tradition.
It felt like this was going to be the answer the entire time.
I mean, wasn't this the natural course for, you know, the rock and wrestling era for Hogan to come out on top? I mean,
yeah.
Would have felt dirty if it was anybody else?
No, yeah. I don't know. I could have seen a couple others, but Hogan, I thought, was going to win this whole thing. Even from the beginning, before we even said this, it's like, well, Hogan's going to take rock and roll era, so.
Yeah. It was close, though. It was way closer than I gave. Even when I set all this up, I was like, I don't know if I can vote Hogan in the finals, but it did. It happened.
All right, guys, let's move over to the tag team bracket. First matchup, we have the number 1 seed Demolition versus number 8 seed Strikeforce. So, guys, I have to be honest, I never heard of Strikeforce, but I listened to their music. And I was just like, oh my god, this is so 80s. But I couldn't vote for it, because Demolition's music is just so badass. So my vote went Demolition. What did you have, Kent?
Here comes the axe. Here comes the smasher. Yeah, Strikeforce was a short-lived tag team featuring Tito Santana and Rick Martel. I didn't even know they had a theme song. And as I was, like, going through, just, like, randomly listening to wrestling theme songs, I come across this, I was like, what is this piece that I'm listening to, and I saw there was a music video. It was actually riveting to watch and listen to. Still, fucking Demolition's great.
And Russ.
Yeah, I never heard of Strike Force either. In fact, I didn't realize we had a tag team tournament until about 5 minutes before the show. So I listened to it. I'm not going to lie. It was really good. Like, it was really good. But there's no way it's beating Demolition. So, sorry, Strike Force. Great song.
In hindsight, should I have had Strike Forces seated higher?
I think so. Just listening to the song. Like, I could have put this one in. It could have even made it to the finals. But going against Demolition, nah, it's not going to win. Demolition.
Yeah, my bad, guys. My bad.
All right, we have the number 4 seed, the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers, versus the number 5 seed, British Bulldogs. I love dogs. I had to go with the British Bulldog. And I watched the video and I saw Matilda. So, yeah, that's my pick. Russ?
I am also going to go with the British Bulldogs. I really like the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers. I really like the song. It's one of those songs I don't remember, and I had to listen to it today again. I liked it a lot, but British Bulldogs, that's just classic. Good stuff. I had to go with British Bulldogs.
Kent?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where if you just played both songs, you instantly know one's... You know who the British Bulldogs are. You know who's coming out. With the Rougeaus, you actually... If you listen to the song, you know, but wasn't like a popular song. The tag team only lasted a year or two, I think. Still, like, it was a really good Jimmy Hart song from the 80s, which was pretty much, like, well over half the music back in the 80s was Jimmy Hart written. Yeah, I went with the going British Bulldogs, even though I had them seated lower.
All right, the next matchup, we have the number 2 seed, Legion of Doom, versus the number 7 seed, the Rockers. Again, never heard either entrance music, so I had to listen to both, but Legion of Doom really spoke to me, so I went with Legion of Doom. How about you, Kent?
All right, so as a kid, I remember loving the Rockers theme song. Listening to it without the entrance, it is generic-ass music. Maybe the song should be called Generico, I don't know, but it's not like Legion of Doom was much better, though, without seeing Legion of Doom coming out, but they get the edge here. Not the Christian.
And Russ.
Well, my vote doesn't count again, but, Yeah, I had the same feelings of Kent. I was like, the Rockers, I thought this was a really good song. What the hell's going on? And then I listened to Legion of Doom, and I was like, okay, this is good. But it just doesn't feel like Legion of Doom. You need that entrance, really, to come out with it. But I'm going to go with Legion of Dooms just because it's slightly better. It's got that beat that you kind of can get into a little bit.
Plus, Oh What a Rush,
yes,
is pretty fucking iconic, especially for... a decade plus. That was very iconic.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard people say that. I had no idea what it was from, but I kept hearing it.
So Hawk that kind always of, said it. At the,
no, no,
the
no.
End.
I heard it in like kids in school saying it. I had no idea where it came from because I wasn't watching wrestling then and didn't realize it came from wrestling. So it did have mainstream appeal, apparently.
They were probably the most over tag team after the Freebirds. I mean, after the Freebirds' popularity died, I think Road Warriors and then Legion of Doom, same thing, became the next big tag team for a while. I don't even know when we actually had a transition. It might have been like not until Attitude Era with like Dudley's and Edge and Christian before another tag team was that popular.
All right, let's go with the final matchup. We got the number 3 seed, Rhythm and Blues, versus the number 6 seed, the Bushwhackers. I have a lot of good childhood memories of the Bushwhackers, so that's my pick. Russ?
See, now, same thing. Lots of great childhood memories of the Bushwhackers, but the song sucks without the entrance. Rhythm and Blues. Rhythm and Blues is just good.
And Kent.
Rhythm and Blues was driven down to the ring at WrestleMania 6 by DDP in his pink Cadillac. That's a fact. So, that's cool. I sit here and I look over to my left and I have the Bushwhacker toys. Still in their package right next to the Ultimate Warrior over there. I still gotta go Rhythm and Blues because without seeing it, just hearing it, it's a quirky song for about 20 seconds and then I want to stop listening to the Bushwhacker song. Whereas I can actually listen to the full Rhythm and Blues song. It's actually a decent song.
Alright, first semifinal matchup, we have Demolition versus the British Bulldogs. Demolition. Russ?
Yeah, I don't think it's a question. Demolition.
No, there really isn't. Okay. Yeah. Clean sweep.
Alright, next semifinal matchup, we have Legion of Doom versus Rhythm and Blues.
And everybody's face is just like, I don't know.
I can't decide here, but I do remember listening to the Rhythm and Blues song, and it was decent. It was good. I mean, it's pretty much the same as the Honky Tonk Man song. But Legion of Doom, it just grabs you. So I gotta go with Legion of Doom for my pick. Kent?
I kind of want to know what Russ, go for it.
I was going to say, well, because I'm going to get against it. Yes, I love Legion of Doom, but Rhythm and Blues is just so good. I got to go Rhythm and Blues.
And Ken.
On a song quality, it's tough. It is so tough because if you played both songs right now, like a month from now, only one I'd recognize is Legion of Doom. I wouldn't necessarily recommend Rhythm and Blues. That is a problem to me, even though Rhythm and Blues is the better song. I don't even know what the hell we're basing this off of anymore. Personal preference?
Legion of Doom was my tag team. Yeah, say personal preference, so that's why I knew you were going to choose Legion of Doom.
I mean, it was me and Johnny Frazier's favorite tag team, so gotta go with Legion of Doom.
Alright, so in our final for the tag team bracket of the rock and wrestling era, we have Demolition versus Legion of Doom. I would love to have seen this match.
It happened at SummerSlam 91?
I wasn't watching wrestling then. But I guess I could check out... Yeah, I was going to say, I guess I could check out the network, couldn't I?
Unfortunately, I think that was back when, like, it was... By that time, I think Demolition added Crush because Axe was getting so old that they added Crush. So I think it was Smash and Crush. And I want to say, I don't know if that was the 2 out of 3 Falls match or if it was Heart Foundation versus Demolition. One of those two matchups was the best 2 out of 3 at SummerSlam. It was really good.
I'll have to check that out. Some point. But for my pick... I'm going to go with Demolition. Ken?
It's the definitive rock and wrestling era tag team song. I felt this was actually more clear-cut than the singles wrestlers was. I didn't really... I felt Demolition's was on the Neville level.
Yeah. And I thought Hogan could get defeated.
Right. I thought you could make that argument.
There was nothing beating Demolition, not even Legion of Doom. Like, I was like, yeah, I like Legion of Doom. I like Rhythm and Blues, but Demolition, their song's awesome. It is just awesome. There's no beating it. So, Demolition. Like, I knew this one from the beginning. It was always going to be Demolition. Look at all the rest of the list. I was like, yeah, it's Demolition.
So, even though this doesn't count for shit, what would you choose, Demolition or Hogan's song?
For me? Those are the two going?
That's a tough one.
I'm going Demolition. I just love their song. It's so good. So, I mean, I love Hogan's song too. Don't get me wrong. It just... That's tough. I'm still going to Demolition. I'm going to give them the edge. Demolition.
Kerry, what would you have gone with?
I don't know. Hogan's is so iconic. Like, it's what you associate with that era of wrestling. But with that said, Demolition Song just kicks you in the ass and just takes you for a ride. So I have to give the edge to Demolition's Song.
Wow. All right. I probably would have gone with Hogan on that one. So interesting. Now, we're going to have this whole thing where I think what I really want to do is not only are we going to have the Ultimate Tournament, we're also going to have an Ultimate Second Place Tournament, because I think the Second Place Tournament's going to matter down the road. I think that's going to be kind of interesting.
We could bring them back, so. Maybe. Maybe they could, we could return some songs that didn't quite make it.
I thought about that, and I was like, there's just three of us.
True.
Kind of. I mean, it's not like we have a seven-person panel, because our Skype screen would be cray-cray.
Certainly would.
Actually, I really wanted to have Steve for this, but four people panel doesn't really work too well.
Yeah, we'd have to break the ties.
Yeah.
I could bring Eric in for any ties.
Eric is more than like, if we get Eric and Steve, like, I just want, if we get an odd number, I would love to have an odd number just for the tournament, and then we could just do our normal podcast. So, I don't know, like, I'd like to do something more with this tournament, but I had a week to work on it. I came up with many ideas, and I nixed all of those ideas. I couldn't come up with anything that I felt was more satisfying. Now, according to Russ, he has some ingenious idea that he's willing to share. Ain't that right, Russ? Oh, you're tight-lipped? Yeah, great. Thanks, Dick. So, we won't know until after the show, you know, what this idea is, but hopefully it's not as stupid as Russ's intros typically are. Hopefully. With that being said, we have a good first round, and we've gone old school. I think maybe it's time to go, like, across an ocean, maybe, and visit your corner in the Far East.
Yes, definitely. My corner is still very much in, well, watching the G1 Climax 28. So, listeners, here's where we are. As of tonight, we're through night 12 of the tournament. Night 13 starts tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m. for you on the East Coast. All right, so here's where we stand. Block A, Hiroshi Tanahashi is leading Block A with 10 points. Evo, Aokada, Suzuki, and Jake White all have 8 points. Still very competitive in Block A. Real hard play to call who's actually going to take it. There's so many scenarios right now, but basically, outside of those five individuals, everybody else is mathematically eliminated. That includes Togi Makabe, Hangman Page, Yoshihashi, and I think Mike Olgan's also mathematically eliminated from winning Block A. Block B, completely different story. We have Kenny Omega, who is undefeated right now in Block B and is leading Block B with 12 points. Right behind him is Tetsuya Naito with 10 points and Kota Ibushi with 8. Everyone else in Block B has been mathematically eliminated at this point, so right now it's either Omega, Naito, or Ibushi's block to win, lose, or draw. Actually, it's just to win. Just some matches to watch before our next episode, all of which have implications for the tournament. Okada versus Suzuki happens tomorrow morning, so night 13. Tanahashi versus Evil, basically that'll start determining where Block A goes. Ibushi versus Naito, that'll determine kind of, depending on an Omega loss, where that block is going to go. And then Okada...
Is that inevitable? Do you think Omega's going to get a loss here?
I thought he was going to get one this morning. He had a match against Zack Sabre Jr. this morning. And I seriously, that was the one I thought, and basically everyone who's been watching the G1 thought was going to be the one he lost. And he ended up pulling out the win. I mean, he's got Toru Yano and Ishii before he gets to Ibushi on August 11th. So, we'll see. It's really... I doubt he'll go undefeated.
Has anybody gone undefeated in the past?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, we're setting up for the first time the potential of a champion actually winning the G1. That hasn't happened in almost 18 years.
Who was the last one to do that?
I will research this. I don't remember the name.
Okay.
But
I'm asking hard-hitting questions here.
Yeah, you are. And I wish I had, like, my info up. But I do know that it's been 18 years since a champion's actually won the G1 Climax.
Is this, like, a way to set, like, a new number one contender? Like, where does this go from here? Like, you win it, what prestige does it hold?
You get a title shot against the IWGP Heavyweight Champion at Wrestle Kingdom. Basically, this is their Royal Rumble, if you think about it.
Wait, when the fuck's Wrestle Kingdom? Didn't we just already have that?
January.
Like... Oh, it has been a while. Okay, makes sense. That, so they spread it out a little longer, which is nice. I like that.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch and just see, because who you think's going to win isn't necessarily who actually does win. The unpredictability of it is great.
Oh, so just like the Royal Rumble, except on opposite day.
Exactly. But, and just one other thing to add, let's say, hypothetically, just because it looks like this may happen, that Omega does win, he gets to pick his opponent at Wrestle Kingdom.
Please be James Ellsworth.
Everybody's thinking it's probably going to be Ibushi or Okada.
Makes sense.
No, it really should be James Ellsworth, because, come on, think about it. If you're Omega, you want to win the match, you choose James Ellsworth.
Oh, now you're going to finally talk. Yo, Russ, just a few minutes ago, I was asking you to explain your great idea, and you wouldn't say a goddamn word.
I had to format it. Now that I have it formatted, I can...
Wait, we're still in her corner.
Okay, sorry,
so...
get out of her corner.
All right, let me close out my corner so we can hear Russ's fantastic idea. There you go, listeners. That's where we stand right now with the G1. I'll have another update for you next week's episode. Basically, our final block standings going into the final weekend of the G1. That weekend will include the big matchup between Omega and Ibushi at the Budokan, which is the first time they fought
each
other.
Did you say Budokan?
Budokan.
I heard Budokan.
Yeah, I really wanted Budokan. I would have gone to that.
Budokan.
Oh, dear God, guys. Come on. This is actually the first time those two have wrestled each other in that arena since, I believe, 2009. So that'll be interesting to see. And that actually may be for the winner of Block B. We'll see what happens in the coming days. And there you go, listeners. Stick with Carrie's Corner. You're one and only source. Well, I don't know if I'm the only source, but I'm definitely one of your sources for all things G1.
Well, you're the only
source. Russ, what is your idea?
You're the only source on this podcast, so I guess that's a thing. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. For the next era, what's the next era even called?
The next generation or new generation. I think it's new generation.
Okay. I think what we should do, instead of seeding them, we put them, like, all the names in a hat or something like that, and we pull the names out. That way, it's a little bit trickier in the beginning, and then afterwards, once we've seeded them as we chose, then we'll go in that order afterwards. I think that would be a little bit more, for you at least, Ken, because it seemed like you had already had your choices made. So.
The problem is I didn't want to have Hogan, Warrior, and Macho Man on the same side of the bracket.
I get that, but it feels like, it just felt like this.
Because if we're doing a second place tournament, that shit matters.
I guess it's up to you how you want to run it. This is your podcast, and
I'm fine with doing like a number one and two seed on opposite sides, and then everybody else being mixed up.
Okay,
I'd consider doing that.
Okay,
that way you're guaranteed to have at least a decent finals if things shake out really one sided.
Fair enough. I thought it would be a way to get it more mixed up for you because it felt like you were always going to choose your higher seed almost always.
Almost. Edward James.
So, guys, let's talk moments of the week, shall we? And I think we should kick off that discussion with our segment, Were You Not Kentertained? Each week, listeners, we pick a segment and we discuss whether or not we were kentertained by it. This week, to kick off our Raw discussion, we're going to talk about the segments with Brock Lesnar. I'm just going to say it. Well, they happened. He did absolutely nothing. But I do love all the memes that are coming out with what book he magazine he was reading. Those are hilarious. So I was not Kent entertained, but I have my own personal issues with Brock Lesnar. So, Kent, what did you think?
I actually thought this was really well done. And I was actually surprised to see, like, right before we started this, Mark Henry also praising this. This Brock Lesnar's always been capable on the fucking mic. That's the only thing that, like, that's long irritated me, even though him and Heyman make for a great couple, or whatever you want to call it. Like, Brock's always been more than capable, even though he doesn't necessarily have the voice. Like, he has, like, a Mike Tyson type voice. You always expect a little bit more Braun Strowman and less Mike Tyson, but, you know. I liked it. I thought Paul Heyman did Paul Heyman things, and that's what I love to see. I don't ever get sick of seeing Paul Heyman. And, no, does it make sense for Brock to be a dick? No, but they're trying to paint him to be the big bad guy and trying to make Roman not look like Roman, I guess. I don't know. That's a whole other thing. But for Brock, yeah, they made him, like, pretty much the biggest heel right now. So in that regard, it worked. I was entertained.
And Russ?
I agree with Kent on this one. This was really, really well done. Why didn't they do this before? I'll never know. But they did everything they could to paint Brock Lesnar as bad guy and Roman Reigns as good guy. And it was clear as day how it was going to play out. And kudos to WWE. They did this really well. There was what's the best way to get everyone to hate Brock? Turn him against Paul Heyman. I mean, everyone loves Paul. So the second Brock started treating Paul like a useless bag of Lay's potato chips.
Russ, are you eating Lay's potato chips?
I'm not, but I wish it was. I was just thinking about it. They played it so perfectly. It was easy in making him aloof and not caring. Kudos to Brock. Great. I always knew he was decent and good as an actor on wrestling, but this was fantastic. He did so good with this. I was impressed. I really liked it. I like where they're going with it. And it's turned everyone that was against Roman against Brock. It's exactly what they were looking for. Yeah, I was totally entertained by this. I liked it.
But SummerSlam's in New York.
Right, I know.
Is any of this shit really going to matter? Are the fans going to cheer on Roman Reigns in New York?
Fans are going to take over no matter what.
Fans are going to shit so far. This is why it's a mistake to not have this a triple threat or fatal four-way. You're making this the main event, and you're not giving the fans anybody to cheer on. This is a recipe for Independence Day Disaster, which was the name of a sci-fi original film. And it was a disaster.
On Independence Day?
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of fun, though. It's own quirky.
Okay, obviously it was after Independence Day.
Oh, it was like a few years ago. I think I saw it on sci-fi, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I watched the whole thing, unfortunately. Maybe fortunately. But it really, like, yes. They're got to have the cash in, because the fans are going to shit all over this match. Is there any way that the fans don't shit all over this if it stays between these two guys?
I don't know. There are Roman lovers out there. But the haters in New York is such a... You get the right, unright... You get the fans that actually care at New York, they're going to shit all over this. But if you get... If SummerSlam, the greatest show on Earth in the summer, maybe we'll get the...
It's the biggest party of the summer, Russ.
Sorry.
Get your taglines right.
Maybe we'll get those cash fans that come in, you know?
No, we're not. These are expensive-ass tickets. You're going to get the hardcore obnoxious fucks that are going to try taking over. They're not going to be as bad as Chicago, but they're going to be pretty bad and unruly. Like, the only way you get the pop is having the cash in at the end.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not sure, like, alright, so you have... If you have Braun, that's a huge pop. If you have Kevin, that's going to be a huge pop. And do they want... Do you want Kevin getting a fucking huge pop if you're WWE? No. This is just stupid.
I think whoever wins it, if Kevin Owens wins it, I think the cash-in's that night. I think if Braun retains, I think on Raw we're going to get the cash-in.
I think WWE made a huge mistake, and I know I'm in the minority. I think they should have made Brock the face. At least give the fans something to cheer for, and then if you have Roman win, that's fine. That is fine. But at least give the fans somebody to root for in this match. You're not giving the fans anybody to root for. So why not build up Brock? I'm anti-building up Brock, but for this match only, I would have built him up as a face.
Are they going to, before SummerSlam, are they going to go anywhere where it's a smart town where they could test out the waters before they go to Raw or SummerSlam?
I don't have the schedule.
God damn
it,
Kent. Maybe you should.
Well, maybe you get off your lazy ass and type in www.com and check it out.
Whoa.
Bitch.
I am not going to do that. That sounds like too much work.
You're goddamn right it is. So no, probably not.
Yeah, probably.
But if they go in Philadelphia or something like that, then yes. All right, Russ is choking, so that's good. What's our next topic?
Well, I had a question for Russ, but if he's choking...
Nope.
I wonder why.
No. Oh. Wow, it could be that.
Yeah, see, it was a good segue. You're welcome, Russ, and you ruined it.
I did.
As is tradition. Carrie set you up all time, you ruined it.
Alright, so Russ, I have a question for you. Is it mild?
That's a fantastic question, Carrie. So, folks, if you don't know what this segment's about, it's about a wrestling segment. And yes, I know they're all wrestling segments. I'm talking about the segments that make us feel like true wrestling fans. It's what we really want to see. So, I take a segment from Raw or SmackDown, and I look at it and analyze it as a wrestling fan. And then I give it a Hot Wings type measurement. Was it mild? Was it medium? Was it hot? Or, you know, Kent's absolute favorite. Kent, what is that favorite hotness for you?
God damn, Russ. The old TJP.
Yeah, that's right, the old TJP. Suicidal. So, here we go. My segment this week I chose, it's a part of a segment. I'm going to go with Dolph Ziggler when he came out and when he attacked Seth after the match. Don't worry, we'll get to that later. Now, Dolph Ziggler comes out with his championship, and I'm going to tell you right now, he looked like a young Chris Jericho. Actually, he looked like Chris Jericho did when he was young, I should say. Long hair, the open chest coming out of the nice shirt, and he just looked, I don't know, it felt like an old school Jericho. Jericho. It felt like old school Jericho looking at him.
Didn't he even look a little younger? Like, I felt Dolph looked like 5 to 10 years younger.
He looks invigorated. And the reason I'm calling this segment out is because here's what happened. So, my boy Seth, and we'll get to him in a little bit, don't worry, took on Drew McIntyre in a fantastic match. It was really good. Both guys, I really want this match to be on a card at some point because these two are going to have a great match. But Drew's the real deal. I keep, every time I watch Drew, I just keep on going, holy crap, this is a guy who used to be a part of 3MB. But anyway, not back to this. Let's go to Dolph. Dolph was fantastic in his role. He was out there. He was preening, really big. But I started to notice something. Drew is all about, fixing the locker room. You know, he's about getting rid of those guys who slack off and stuff like that. Dolph Ziggler is the ultimate slack-off guy because he has Drew. And it feels like they're playing it up so perfectly. Like, Dolph knew if Drew lost to Seth, which he was about to, that it would ruin everything for Dolph. So what does Dolph do? He waits his sweet-ass time until one, 2, 2.5, 2 3/4, and finally saves Drew McIntyre at the last second before that 3 hand count comes down and gets Drew disqualified. So there's no real loss. Yes, he lost the match, but he didn't really lose. But my God, Dolph cut that so close, and he came in like a freaking bolt of lightning. I didn't even realize. I honestly thought he fucked up. But it was just so good. They're playing Dolph as, yeah, oh yeah, I want to change the locker room too. But he is literally the guy playing off of somebody else and leeching off him. It is so well done. I really like what they're doing with it. So, as for Dolph in this segment part, and in the fight afterwards, of course, was really good, the beatdown. I'm going to give this a medium. I'm not going to go crazy and call it a hot. I'm going to call it a medium on this one. It's interesting what they're doing, and they're showing a great dynamic with Dolph, and I really love it. So I'm going to go with medium on this one, but it could easily turn hot next week or the week after, so I'm looking forward to it. Now, because we're talking about my boy Seth, I figured I might as well bring up my Rollins Roundup. I think that needs to be like this every time I say that. We just need to have that sucking sound. It's really good.
And then you say, drink it in, man.
Drink it in, man. All right. So, my Rollins Roundup for the week. Yes, Seth had a fantastic match against Drew McIntyre. And all I can say is this. Yes, sometimes Seth can go through the routine a lot. But it felt like in this match, he kind of tried to do a few things different, and it was really working. Not everything was different. He still has his favorite moves, his favorite parts he wants to go through. But honestly, it feels like he's trying. He's still keeping up that workhorse mentality. He is the true babyface of Raw. And they're really proving it out there. Like, he's a workman out there. He does fantastic matches. In fact, now his fantastic matches, that's par for the course. If he gives us a bad match, we're going to be like, oh, God, bad match? I can't believe it. But a fantastic match, we're now like, that was a fantastic match, but that's Seth, whatever. So it was great to see him out there, of course. Great to see him wrestling out there. And I'm glad he's moving up the routines, changing them up a little bit while he's fighting these other guys. Let's keep that up, Seth. And that is the Rollins Roundup.
Wow, you broke a lot of new ground there. Seth is great. Seth is fantastic. Seth has a routine. Seth's a true babyface. Seth's the guy I want to get behind and stick my dick in. Like, you're not breaking any new ground here, Russ.
I had to.
He has a checklist. He's got to go down through it.
I got it.
He's hit every bullet point.
Did you just do the five moves of doom there, Russ?
I got to hit the five Seth Rollins love of hits of doom. So
the love taps.
Yes,
of
the
doom.
Love taps of doom. So,
but seriously, he's not the true babyface on Raw. Elias is.
Unfortunately, they're playing him as a heel though, so I don't know how he's a babyface.
Which makes him the ultimate face. Because it's Bizarro World. Can this era really... I feel we're going to call this the Bizarro era within a year or two.
Or the Bully era.
Or the Bully era, which is a shame that Bully Ray isn't more involved.
Right?
Nah, he's bullying lesser talent over on our Ring of Honor.
Did anybody see that Madison Rayne's going to be in the Mae Young Classic? That was a shocking revelation, considering that she was just in that match at Slammiversary. That good match, nonetheless.
Yeah, as I say, it was a good match.
And she's really good. I'm hoping that this isn't a sign that Josh Matthews is leaving TNA, because he's actually a very competent announcer. So, I don't know. I would like to see Madison. I actually would have loved to see the beautiful people in WWE. Never happened. But that was mainly because Velvet Sky was more of a sexy lady, and they stopped doing the whole sexy lady bit. But she was actually good in ring. Angelina was always good, and Madison's very good in ring. So, very good addition. I'd actually like to see her finish top four at the very least.
It's a really good field they have for this Mae Young Classic. Just looking at some of the names involved, it's going to be a good tournament.
I don't know hardly any of the girls. I know maybe three or four of them. I'm not very familiar with many of them, to be honest.
I mean, some I've heard from Ring of Honor Stardom and Madison Rae, of course, I've heard from, you know, from Impact and stuff. One of the girls in the tournament actually was a Ninja Warrior, Casey Catanzaro, who apparently is doing really, really well in NXT live events.
She was so anti-turning heel, and Triple H is dead right. If she goes heel, she's going to be great. I could not stand her stupid face on American Ninja Warrior, so her being a heel would be great. She was so overrated because the next girl, her name began with an M, I believe. She's still doing it. Megan Martin. Martin is legit badass. Like, if she came WWE, she could become something. Casey, I don't think Casey's really going to be that great. I think Megan, though, would actually be a legit badass.
I think Casey's got the athleticism, but I remember what her voice sounded like on Ninja Warrior, and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to hear her cut a promo. No.
Exactly. And in a similar note, I think it's August 31st, Netflix is going to have the Ultimate Beastmaster show there, and CM Punk and Wade Barrett are a part of it, so two of my all-time favorites. Just excited.
There's no bad news there.
What was that, Russ?
A little chubby there?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, guys, let's talk about SmackDown quickly. Kent, I know there's one segment you really wanted to talk about on SmackDown this week. Care to enlighten us?
Yeah. I just want to say that this angle with Jeff Hardy may be my favorite angle of the year. It's basically Shinsuke Nakamura and Randy Orton taking turns beating the shit out of Jeff Hardy. Clearly, they listened to the podcast. They are trying to give me at least one thing for me to like. So kudos to them. Like, I really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. This is what I've wanted for 20 plus years now. It's just to see Jeff Hardy get beaten and violated and victimized week after week. I kind of want Brock just to go over to SmackDown and just beat up Jeff Hardy for one night only. Please, like, can we get a Braun Strowman versus Jeff Hardy match? Like, can this angle go the whole year? That's what I really want. I need a Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy match. Make that an Iron Man match. That would be fantastic. Authors of Pain versus Jeff Hardy. Give me James Ellsworth with Jeff Hardy handcuffed match. I think James might be able to win that. Might. So, yeah, I'm very excited about this angle. It's good to see reinvigorated Randy. And they're keeping Shinsuke interesting. I like it.
All I have to say is heel Shinsuke is best Shinsuke. He's fantastic as a heel.
Does it make you wonder why he was ever a face? Like,
yes! Well, especially since when he was in New Japan, he was a heel.
Right, but I was going to say, the reason he's a face is because everyone loves him because he's such a great heel. So it's so tough to, it's just so tough to get everyone to boo him when he's so fantastic at what he does.
Russ, this is America. If you're foreign, they can find a way to make you boo.
That's true, but do we really want him going that route?
No, I'm just saying, this has been the methodology for decades.
I don't know, I think we're to the point where heels and faces, the line is too fine now. People are going to cheer for who they want to cheer for. It's having that set up anymore. It's just
Ciampa would like to disagree with you.
Ciampa's on a whole nother level.
The A double level? Possibly. Hey, Kat, you sound like Russ.
I didn't want to interrupt. Both you guys were talking at the same time, so I just had this conversation myself. God. Just saying, like, it's nice. Like, I feel this is what we've wanted for a long time. We've wanted the lines blurred more and more. I can't sit here and even say that WWE is doing it wrong, because it's kind of uncharted territory. Cena was kind of the first guinea pig, Roman's kind of the second guinea pig, and we've had a few others, like, look how many times The Miz gets pops, right? That happens a lot. Like, Braun Strowman, by all means, still, I'm not sure he's a face. I mean, could you classify anything that he has done as a face? No. But he's getting the pop. So this is kind of an interesting era to be involved in. Like, it's weird, and that's why a lot of people are grumpy about it, I think, because we've gone away from what is tried and true. But I don't know, I'm kind of excited for not necessarily, you know, having somebody, you must cheer this person. I like that. I mean, you just cheer because AJ Styles is awesome in the ring. He didn't have, like, this moment where he just turned face. No, the fans were just like, we're going to cheer this guy no matter what because he's awesome. So, I think actually Shinsuke going quote-unquote heel was the best thing because we were kind of souring on his run. They weren't doing anything with him. So yeah, at least
his now, lead up to WrestleMania was garbage.
Yeah, wins the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and we don't hear from him until almost WrestleMania.
Yeah, so it's an interesting era. Like, and yes, I still gripe all the fucking time, but it's still an interesting. This is an interesting experiment. I don't know. In 10 years, will we say it was a success? I'm gonna hope that we do.
Let's be cautiously optimistic. I think there's one subject that I think all of us can agree is not so good.
Russ's hair.
Nothing. Okay. No, actually, I think I heard what you were talking about, and it's not that. It's the return of Charlotte Flair to SmackDown Live. I feel bad for only one person in this scenario.
Kent?
I feel bad for Becky.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Who do you feel bad for?
Kent.
Russ?
Kent. Because now he has to
talk
about
Rocky
Dead.
We'll get to Kent in a second. I know he's dying to talk about this. So I think, you know, I got to go to Kent. We got to get his thoughts on this. I know he's probably really excited about this. Kent, what are your thoughts?
Well, in 2 Sundays, Fear the Walking Dead returns, and a storm is coming. And hopefully it's a storm that just wipes out all of North Carolina. That would include cities such as Raleigh and, I don't know, Charlotte, for instance. So that would be wonderful. I mean, seriously, did anybody see? I say did anybody see, but fans, I took a video recording of the fucking moonsault from the barricade, whatever, that she didn't even touch. Did not touch Carmella. Why do we continuously have to hear her getting praised? Why do people buy into this garbage? She is amongst the biggest frauds in wrestling history. Not just like now. History. She is one of the all-time biggest frauds. Proclaimed as an all-time great already? No. No. Fraudulent garbage. I feel horrible for Becky, but let's face it, this is the story we were hoping for about 2 months ago when we said Becky needs to turn heel. Well, this is how you get the belt off of Carmella and we get our new heel.
Which is... Oh, sorry. I was going to say, it's just this is awful for us because Becky is a fantastic face. It should be Charlotte's heel. She's terrible. And nobody likes her.
With her great acting?
Acting! I'm glad she made the save! I'm so glad she's back so we can talk like this!
God damn
her. Oh, man. And the other thing, I'll say this, too. Yes, I like what they're doing, though. I'll say that. I like what they're doing. Becky's fantastic. When she came out for her the beginning segment, she really is a great baby face. I mean, there's very few women out there that are great baby faces. She's one of them. Bailey's the other. It was just so refreshing to have her, and I kind of feel bad now because it leaks like feels like they're pointing her towards being a heel now. Because you're right, Charlotte's going to come in, steal the thunder, and I'd be pissed if I were Becky too. I love what they're doing with Becky though. She was not happy that Charlotte won. She didn't congratulate her or anything. I'd be pissed, too. It's her moment to shine, and Charlotte comes in and steals the thunder. So, I am very intrigued by the story. It's not like this is not a story that's turning me like, eh, nope. I want to see how this ends up.
Yeah, really the big story, I think, just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, is isn't it Carmella isn't involved in this storyline. She has the title. It's going to be Becky or Charlotte who takes said title. It's really going to see the deterioration of that friendship over the course of the next, 2 weeks?
But aren't they going to have to maintain that friendship? When the fuck are they doing the Horseman versus Horse? Like, they got to hold off on that if they're going to go...
Sounds like Survivor Series to me.
The Horsewomen versus Horsewomen? Yeah. Like, but... This is... Fuck, I'm using the word. I don't care. I don't care if it's taboo. Okay? Here's why. The women in NXT just aren't ready for it. I mean, when Ronda's your best talent, that's not a good thing. I don't care how good they are, they're not... We know it takes a few years to be ready, right? On top of that, we're going to kill what could have been one of the greatest feuds of the year in Sasha and Bayley, just so we can have this stupid match that... How many people are really excited for? If you really think about, are you that excited for this? Versus a good Becky versus Charlotte with Becky as heel, and then Sasha versus Bayley with either one of them being heel is fine. None of this makes sense. So, also, I got an email from somebody called, their email address was iamnotentertained@gmail.com, and they yelled at us for not having fired Charlotte last week. So, that's a thing.
We can fire Charlotte?
Well, we talked about who we would fire.
Oh, right. None of us, well, here's the reason I wouldn't fire her.
Wow, they're right. Yeah.
Here's the reason I wouldn't fire her. You don't want to get on Rick's bad side. We need Rick.
Why? I'm serious. Why do we need
Rick? We need Rick.
Because nostalgia.
Okay, we don't need Rick, but he is a draw. People love him. You don't want to piss him off.
No, I'm fine with pissing him off. The only time Rick's on TV anymore is to promote the talentless hack. So if that's the only Rick I'm getting, fuck Rick. There, I said it. I don't care. I don't need him on my TV screen if all he's going to do is praise that piece of garbage. No, fuck that. Get Rick the fuck out of here, too. Take his woos with him.
Besides, we had to fire people that we didn't think they could go anywhere. Charlotte can't go anywhere, but did you see her
foot up?
Right, exactly. So why fire her? She's going up. The other thing is, too, did you guys see her face on that promo for the SummerSlam match? Oh my god. What the hell's wrong with her, or what the hell's wrong with them? Did they, like, digitally F up her face? She looks like a fucking cat. I encourage anybody to go onto the SummerSlam, or go to WWE.com, go to the SummerSlam page, and look at the picture they have for Becky, Carmella, and Charlotte. Becky looks fine, looks like a normal self, maybe a little dolled up. Carmella looks great, makeuped up. Charlotte looks like a fucking cat. It's disturbing and really weird. It's kind of like what they did with Sasha a couple of months ago. Remember with Sasha? She didn't look like Sasha. She looked like someone they just found in the back and took a picture of her. That kind of looked like Sasha.
And then the Paige.
Oh, and Paige. I was just going to say. Paige one, too. You're right.
Yeah.
They made Paige look even more pale than Paige actually is. I don't know how that's possible, but they did.
Yeah. By the way, how great... You know, how great was that opening promo with Carmella and Becky? I thought that was really excellently executed. And I sit there and I go, oh, Carmella's having the Ember Moon title run right now. Everything about her title run has nothing to do with her. It's about her opponent and somebody
else. Yeah, it's everyone else.
I feel so bad for Carmella. Yeah. I truly do.
Here's the thing, though. She really proves that she can play up what she needs to play up. Like, I loved that segment. SmackDown's been killing segments with talking segments lately. I don't know why, but every talking segment's been important and key. Really enjoyed them all. Like, from this week especially, there were really some good ones. I just... You're right. I'm not a huge fan of Carmella, especially when she screams and runs away like a little bitch. But
perfect heel work.
Yeah, but the screaming part can die.
Perfect heel work then.
I really liked it. The first segment was great. Becky is fantastic. I'm kind of pissed off that Charlotte got her stinky cat face mixed into this, honestly.
I just love how she returns from hiatus and immediately gets thrown in the title picture. What does that say to every single other person on the SmackDown roster?
No, this is perfect. This is perfect play, because Becky had to work her way through the entire roster to finally get her shot. Charlotte comes back. It's a great way to get Becky to be turning heel. It's perfect. They're doing it great.
It's the perfect scathing promo. My question is, next week, does Asuka get a match against Carmella to make it a fatal four-way? Because otherwise, what the fuck are they doing with Asuka? I feel like Asuka needs to be tossed into this matchup. I don't think it's appropriate to just forget Asuka right now. Throw her in. She doesn't even have to win. Or she could win, though. There's nothing wrong. I mean, Carmella's dropping that belt at SummerSlam. I'm 75% sure. Why not have, you know, Becky and Charlotte cost each other, whatever. You could do this any number of ways and get Asuka hot again, because Becky and Charlotte can carry their own feud. Asuka really could use some momentum at this point. Of course, then so could the iconic duo.
I was going to say, fortunately, Asuka's turning into the Becky Lynch of SmackDown.
Yeah, they're... You know, it's funny. Naomi can't get a match, and Asuka can't get a match. The iconic duo can't get a match, but goddamn it, we needed Zelina Vega versus Lana in a match. Priorities are interesting sometimes.
I don't get it. All right, guys. I think that pretty much covers the week. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I want more Bobby Lashley.
Was that good? They did not show that segment, the Bobby Lashley.
No, that was fucking terrible. Because they had made Bobby try to sing, and he sings about as well as you or I do. So
wait, why was he? Isn't Elias a bad guy?
Because Elias wanted Bobby to sing with him, so they sang. Oh, fuck. I can't even think of the name of it, so whatever. Rockin' Robin.
Rockin' Robin. That's what they sang. Oh, God. Kind of want to see it now, but yeah, I heard it was pretty bad.
Obvious things are obvious, and then it's like, alright, so what are you doing with Elias then? Are you, like, you just keep him entertaining, but you're never going to make him serious? Like, is he just going to be a joke until The Rock comes out and kills him as well? Is that what we're going for?
Feels like it.
Cool. Good stuff. All right, yeah. Let's wrap this up.
All right, listeners. So there you have it, guys. That's our thoughts for the week. Stay tuned next week for more of our entrance music tournament. Speaking of next week, let's talk about what we're looking forward to next week, guys, in our segment, I'm Not Finished With You Yet. My answer is the same as it has been every week for the past, 3 to 4 weeks?
The G1.
I think Kent and Russ are actually starting to get sick of the G1. What do you think, Russ?
I am actually looking forward, and this is going to be kind of shocking to some people, I'm looking forward to Ronda Rousey versus Alicia Fox. I either want to see how well Ronda's come along or see the train wreck that she's going to be. I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of hoping she's good. I think she will be because, I don't know, I've been impressed with her a little bit lately, but I also kind of want to see her be a train wreck. We'll see. Next week's going to be the answer a little bit.
Well, we know Anonymous is really looking
forward to. Oh, are you kidding me? He wouldn't shut the hell up about Raw this week. And how great she was. She didn't friggin' do anything. She sat there, got beat up, and then she got a match for next week. But Anonymous was acting like this was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah.
How about you, Kent?
You know, he brings up a good point. You just be a complete loser and you get title matches. So why the fuck isn't Kurt Hawkins getting a match? Roman gets one all the fucking time. Charlotte's getting one. Rollins, the little bitch, gets one. Fucking loses his belt. Oh, give me a rematch. Give me a rematch. Rub my titties.
Wait, did you say rub my titties? Because I'm there.
That was not available on Hulu, Russ. Damn it. Only on USA.
Damn it, yeah. I need to get my cable back.
Fact. So, I am looking forward to... Something's got to give with Sasha and Bayley. I'm going to keep saying this week after week until nothing happens. But that is my go-to right now because they can't ruin this. They can't. They had it so well, and then Dr. Shelby came and ruined it. But they'll bounce back. Right?
But Sasha loves Bayley. In that scissors kind of way.
Xerxes.
Alright, so that's what we're looking forward to next week, and now it's time to play our favorite game before we say goodbye to the listeners for another week. Yes, listeners, it is time for Guess the Wrestler. Each week, one of us picks a wrestler, and it's up to the other two to guess who that wrestler is, using 9 questions and 2 guesses. This week, I have selected the wrestler, and the 2 gimme answers...
So proud of her, Kent. She's done it 3 times in a row now. 3 weeks in a row.
I can. I want my gold stars. Anyway, the answers for you gentlemen are former wrestler and male.
I always hate these former wrestlers. All right. Where would we predominantly know this male former wrestler from?
WWE.
I tried making a gold star. There you go.
Yay!
All right, so WWE former. All right, what eras were they in WWE?
Rock and wrestling era.
Yeah. Somebody got in the mood with the music.
All right, I'll ask it. Have we heard their music tonight? Or did we talk about their music tonight?
We did.
All right. I don't have to cheat. Just look at the list.
Did they make it to the second round of our tournament?
No.
Tag team or single?
Singles.
Was he predominantly a face or a heel?
Heel.
Heel, geez, that's still a lot of... Was he an iconic Intercontinental Championship holder, like one of the longest?
No.
Is this man from America?
Yes.
Well, Russ, that guy rid of the fucking Mountie, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, he didn't make it. He made it past round one anyway, so.
Russ, give him props to the Mountie.
All right.
How many questions we got left?
I think we got 4, don't we?
3?
3?
No, at least 3, I think. All right. 3 seems about right.
Okay. Length of hair and color.
Long and brown.
Did we establish that this person was a heel?
Yes.
Because all I've been thinking about is the Mounties theme song.
Well, you know what the worst part is? I'm looking at this. Almost all your crap is heel on here. I'm looking at him like, heel, heel, heel. That didn't really help.
What'd you say? Long and
long,
brown?
Long, brown, yes.
Okay.
Or possibly
Highest WWF title or championship attained?
None that I'm aware of.
Are you sure they weren't a tag team?
No.
Okay. Like, just saying, Money Incorporated was a tag team.
No.
Okay. Just throwing that out there. You didn't catch it. All right, Russ, you gotta make this count here.
Did he have a pet that we would know and then cry for when we thought he got squished?
Yes.
I was upset when that happened, okay? I'm sorry. That traumatized me. Because I didn't know it was fake at that point.
Wait, didn't she say, though, that he was mainly a heel?
He was mainly a heel in his rock and roll era.
No, he wasn't. He was probably like 3/4 of the time was a face. He was a heel against Macho Man and Taker.
I also thought he was
And then he left for WCW.
I thought he was also a heel against Hogan at some point, too, wasn't he?
No, they never pulled the trigger on doing that. They were going to, and Hogan poo-pooed it. Oh, anyways, you want to just say who it is?
Yeah, it's Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yes, it is.
Ah, good old Jake. Never. Yeah, once you said never won a championship, it was either the Million Dollar Man or Jake the Snake.
I actually had to look that up. I was like, he had to have held something.
Him and Million Dollar Man.
He got screwed.
Yeah.
Million Dollar Man at least had the tag team title and had his own title, so that was cool.
Right. Jake the Snake, I could not believe he never held the title. I couldn't believe it.
I thought at least Intercontinental. Nope.
Did he have a U.S. championship run in WCW?
I think so, but when you talk WWE.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying. I want to say it was him and Sting had like this odd coal miner's glove match. It was on the Jake the Snake documentary DVD from like 10 years ago, which I watched. I don't know if that's on the network, but if the Jake the Snake documentary is on the network, it is so worth a watch. It was really good, and he had a really weird story. His whole story was about as weird as you would actually expect it to be. So highly recommend it if you can find it on the network.
Haven't watched that, but I have watched The Resurrection of Jake the Snake.
How old is that?
A couple years. That's when he basically was like at rock bottom and DDP helped him out, and that's when he found out he was going to the Hall of Fame.
What did it tell, like, the whole story of his whole career, or just like his resurrection storyline?
Just the resurrection. Just
probably the fall. Probably the fall, and then the resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I highly recommend a lot of the documentaries WWE does. If they do one thing right, really, really fucking good, it's their documentaries. I don't think I've ever seen one that I was like, oh, this is bad. Like, they usually do a very good job.
All right, listeners. Well, there you have it. Another week comes to a close. Before we say goodbye, Kent, any announcements?
Hopefully by this time next week, the Orange is the New Black Season 6 blog should be up. And it sounds like Tales from the Plunderbund may be going over a drastic change. More news on that next week as more details rolls in. Yeah. That's it.
All right, listeners, so be on the lookout. You'll be able to find those blogs at our website, 9news.com. For those of you who are listening to us on iTunes or other platforms where you can find your podcasts, please be sure to hit that subscribe button. And for Russ, Kent, and myself, we wish y'all a good night, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye, y'all!
Just get rid of North Carolina. All of it.